But I believe I'm gonna continue in the same idea, the same topic today, on the power of the human spirit. Now, I don't have notes with me today. I don't use a lot of notes anyway, but I do like to have a few little things written down, but that's okay. I woke up this morning, and I'm trying to be transparent. I don't know why it is, but when we talk about being transparent, it's usually about our faults, not our strengths. We tend to relate to that a little better. When people start talking about their strengths, we think they're being conceited or something, even if that's not true. But anyway, I have a habit often. We have a device in our home. It's called an Echo Dot. I don't know if you know what that is or not, but an Alexa. It's an Amazon product that will tell you the time. It will, you know, you can talk to it and it talks back to you. Some people think it's the way the government's listening to you, but I mean, come on, you're carrying around a cell phone anyway, so they're going to listen if they want to. Anyway, I'm getting off track there. Alexa wakes me up every morning with an alarm, and I have a bad habit. I'll say, "Alexa, snooze," and I get an extra 9 minutes. Well, this morning I said that, and immediately I was singing in the spirit. Not with my mouth, not in the physical natural, but in my mind, I was just singing. And I was just singing in the spirit. I didn't go back to sleep. I just kept flowing out of me. And so I began to sing. I got up and walked away, and I began to sing in the spirit. And the Lord said to me, he says, you know, and something rose up in me. I don't know a better way of saying it. It was just a strength. A joy, a peace. I don't know if any of you have been through anything lately, but I have. When I say that, some difficulties. And the Lord said to me, he says, this is always available. And so I want you to understand something today as we look at the power of the human spirit, the things that Christ did for you. That which God has given you is always available. It's not reserved for Sunday morning. It's not reserved for your scheduled prayer time. But it's available to you in every situation. And see, Gary had been encouraging us over the last, well, forever, but especially over the last maybe few months or years to go back and see the things the Lord has told you, instructions that you've received from the Lord. And when I did that, because over the last however many years it's been that we've been coming on Wednesdays for prayer and Fridays for prayer and all of those things, every week that I've been here, which I haven't been every week, but every time that I've been coming to prayer, I would ask the Lord certain things, and I would write it down. You know, what about this? What about this? What about this? Many of those things I had written an answer to. Now, I can't say that in every case that the Lord was speaking to me in the way you might think of. But see, we have an idea sometimes that we're waiting for some voice from heaven to tell us what to do. But really, it's all inside of you anyway. What happened was the wisdom of God that he has put within me, that new nature, that born-again spirit, was giving me answers to the questions that I had. And I'd write them down. And I found when I look back through my book, I had asked the same question over and over again, and I had the same answer several times. And it was almost as if I had either forgotten or I was looking for something different, right? I didn't like it. It wasn't that I didn't necessarily like the answer. I just was wanting to be sure. This is really what the Lord is saying. And when Gary had told us to go back and look through those things, when I looked at it and wrote it all down, this was handwritten, not typed out, I had about 2 pages of instruction from the Lord. Now, some of it was not like do this and do that, but it was more Well, yeah, it was that, but I mean, it wasn't necessarily something new. It was just things that I hadn't done, maybe hadn't scheduled, hadn't taken care of. So I determined I'm going to do these things. And so we began doing them. And some of them are a little more involved than others. And some things I've done, some things I'm in the process of doing, but I'm trying to make sure that I'm not in disobedience, right? So I don't believe I am, even though I haven't completed it all, I'm working towards it. And I realized the moment that we really turned on to this and said, okay, this is what I'm going to do, is when we started seeing resistance in the natural. So I haven't been to prayer here in a few weeks, I think, on Wednesday, because of certain things in the natural. I'm going to tell you these things. It's not to get you to feel sorry for me or to try to do anything about it. But, you know, we just paid off our vehicles. We have a 2015 Kia. It's been running great. Everything's fine. It still runs. We drove it to church today. We spent almost $1,000 to have some work done on it. Maintenance, not a big deal. And then after the maintenance was done, it wasn't running right. Take it to the dealer, take it back to the shop. We go back and forth. They tell me that there's no way to fix it, that it's irreparable and that we need a new engine. So I'm like, wow. My other car, I have a little car that I drive, and before the Kia went out, that car quit working, and it's a module that I haven't even been able to find a dealer in town that'll work on it. My daughter's car broke down. My son's car, the engine went out. My other son had the engine light coming on his vehicle. Now, I'm saying all of those things to say that I don't believe it's a coincidence. At the same time, I'm not giving any credit or credence to the devil or to the things that are wrong in my life. What I'm saying is what the Lord said to me this morning is this peace, this power, this anointing, this presence is always available. So I can go through all of those things just like you're going through all the things that you're going through. These are, honestly, those problems, they're first world problems, right? What other country, if I'm ministering in Kenya, what Kenyan is going to have five vehicles in their household that they're going to have the ability to have going wrong? So really, it's not that big of a deal. But yet, it's a big deal to me because it's what I'm going through. And what you're going through is a big deal to you. But in the midst of it, there's a power in your spirit that will sustain you and carry you through that mess. Whether it gets fixed or it doesn't, there is a power that will sustain you and get you to where God has you to go. I'm still here this morning. You know, I'm still doing all the things that I've been doing because God is with us. He has a wisdom, he has a strength, he has a peace that will sustain us through all of it. And I'm not going to tell you all the other problems, but there's things that are going on in your life that are troubling you today. And I just want you to know that what we're going to talk about today has the ability to bring peace, strength, has the ability to settle you so that, as Pastor Dave used to say, you don't have to fall apart like a cheap clock or a cheap watch. Because there's people watching you. There's people watching you. And they're going to be like, how can you be at peace right now? But see, you have the answer on the inside of you. You have the truth. God's not going to do anything more for you or for I than He's already done. All right. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin in the first verse. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light the knowledge of the glory of the Son of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So what is this treasure that he's talking about? Just what he said there. It is the gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the truth that he was raised from the dead. And it says here that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're going to talk more about that power here in a minute. In verse 8, we're troubled on every side. Now, I told you a little bit of my trouble today. It's absolutely zero if you understand what the early church was going through. When they say they were troubled, they're not talking about gas prices being too high. You know, they were troubled on every side. There's nobody trying to pull my limbs from my body. You know, there's no one that's looking to burn me or to, you know, douse me with gasoline or push me down a slide of razor blades. Those things aren't happening in my life, but they were happening in the early church. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So I want you to understand that these men were going through the most difficult times of their life. Because before that, there was persecution, but there was a radical persecution against those who believed in Jesus Christ. It was like an attempt to destroy anything that had to do with Christ. And so it says they were not distressed, right? They were troubled, but not distressed. That's the power that was within them. This is that power that's of God and not of us. So let's look for a moment at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We're talking about the power of the human spirit. Oftentimes we talk about the power of God, and I think we put it on the outside somewhere, that God is going to move on our behalf. God is going to do some great things for us. God is going to provide for us. God is going to heal us. God is going to do all of these wonderful things that we need. He's going to provide our needs. And all of those things are true, but I think we're missing where the power is really coming from. Let's look here. Ephesians 1. Verse 15, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." This is the subject of what his prayer is about, that you might have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now then he tells us here, when we saw this mighty power, he said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the power that we're after is the power that is within us, the power of the human spirit. That's what I'm after today, right? That's what I want to talk about today. But here, when he talked about the mighty power, he said, when he raised him from the dead. When did he raise him from the dead? Well, when he was dead, obviously, right? But after the crucifixion and Jesus had gone to hell, right? Went into the center part of the earth. And when did God raise him? Well, we know that Jesus had to die spiritually. He who knew no sin became sin for you. And he died under that penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. This was not just a physical death, a beating from the men that beat him and nailed him to that cross, but this was a separation from God Almighty. And yet the exceeding greatness of his power touched him and quickened his spirit that his spirit came to life. There was a power given to his spirit. And I want you to just think about that for a moment because I'm not ready to go there yet. But there was, just realize that the mighty working of his power was God changed from death to life. There was a touch. Let's look over at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, which is what we just read in chapter 1. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. So what I want you to get, first of all, is that there is a power that God has put within us. That power begins in what we see as a demonstration when Christ came up from the dead, from the grave. Really, I want you to understand that when he was speaking of that power where God raised him from the dead, he's speaking of it in a spiritual sense. We're going to look at another sense where he physically rose from the dead, and there's a difference. And I want you to see that the power that was available, the mighty power that turned on, Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Okay, so God's power turned on the human power so that he was able to come up from the dead. And the same thing happened to each one of you. Jesus had to go through death because he wasn't born dead. He was born alive. And so he had to go through that. We're just the opposite. We're born dead. So now we have to receive that power from the Holy Ghost, God's power, to give us human power. Now, these are just semantics here, so just bear with me for a moment. I'm not talking about your human abilities. I'm talking about the power of the human spirit. So let's say Holy Spirit power to human spirit power. Is that acceptable? The spirit, the born-again nature, is full of the power of God. It's been empowered by the Holy Ghost. We see that the example of God, of the effectual working of his mighty power, was when he took a spiritually dead man, Jesus Christ, who had died under the penalty of sin, and he resurrected him, gave him life, went from death to life. The same thing, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, when we were dead, we went from death to life by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it empowered us to be able to walk by the power of our own human spirit that's within us. We're in that process of transforming into the fullness of Jesus Christ. But as we read that, understand that each one of us has a measure. We each have a part. He created us to need one another. If we're going to be the body of Christ, we're going to have to be the part of the body that he created us to be. Our measure is what we're responsible for. But we can't believe that we have it all, because we'll miss the fullness of what God has for us. Let's look at one other scripture. Wasn't in my notes, because I don't have notes, but it wasn't something that I planned to go to. But let's go to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body of Christ, and every one members one of another. So in this passage, he's talking about how we can sacrifice our bodies and live as a living sacrifice, so that we're not conformed or pressed into a shape of this world, but we're transformed through the renewing of our mind. Now, but he said, God has dealt every man the measure of faith. And if you'll remember, Pastor Dave talked a little bit about this. He would say, he'd ask those that are somewhat among them, what is the measure of faith? And he'd get, you know, really profound answers. Like, we're not sure if it's a measure or the measure. You know, he says, well, that's great, but if you don't know what it is, what difference does it make? Right? So, but we know that a measure is a part of a whole. And so it's going to take, if we're going to be the fullness of Christ, if we're going to mature into the fullness of the stature of Christ, we need a complete and whole body, not just one part, not just one measure. See, sorry, I'm hearing something. I'm trying to follow properly the direction the Lord is going. See, we've been given a foundation from a measure of the gift of God. Now, I know for some people it's difficult to say Dave Roberson had a measure, but whether you believe it or not, it was only a measure. That's what the Bible tells us. And the problem is sometimes when someone walks in that type of anointing, that type of teaching, that type of presence, we tend to think, we tend to be overcome by it and think, wow, you know, Dave is fantastic, and he is. He was a wonderful teacher and a wonderful help to all of us. But see, God wants to take us beyond that. And we have to understand that although what he taught us was true, doesn't mean it was complete. And what I mean by that is that there's more to learn yet. And God doesn't want us to be held back by what we've learned in the past, but he wants to take that to propel us forward into the next phase and the next place that he has for us. And that doesn't come from the teachings. It doesn't come from the teachings of man, but from the teachings of the Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean it can't come through a man, but it has to be the teachings of the Spirit of God, as he flows through man's spirit to deliver to you the truths that will set you free. See, there's some people that believe they're free today. But see, I believe I'm free, but I believed I was free 10 years ago and I wasn't as free as I am today. Now, the truth is God has set you free. He set you free from sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you. There is a power within you that will keep you from sinning and will keep you from sin, and it will keep you from despair. It will keep you in a place of joy and peace and love. And from that place that's within you, the Holy Spirit wants to teach you, and he wants you to receive within your spirit the truth that is in the Word of God. See, many of us have received from man great revelation and great truth. Pastor Dave had revelations that I'd never heard of before, and it was wonderful. But we can't take that as just information. We can. You take that information and you regurgitate it and you tell it to other people and all of those things. But until it becomes... But what the Holy Spirit wants to do is take that and teach you what that means. Because see, I can tell you what Dave says it means. And it's wonderful. I agree with it. But I had not yet had the Holy Spirit show me that that's what it means. There's a difference between agreeing with what God says and having God himself show you what it says. And here's the thing, because Dave only has a measure, guess what? You have another measure. So when the Holy Spirit shows you, you have a different perspective than what you had when Dave showed you. And not only that, but now it becomes real to you and alive, and that power that's within you is added to it, or is, Holy Ghost. When the Holy Spirit teaches you, it adds to the power and the strength and the stability that is within you, causes you to grow. See, when man teaches you, it may cause you, you could get set free by many of the things that Pastor Dave taught. You could grow to in a measure, but it's going to be different than it is when the Holy Spirit takes that truth and teaches you. That's why Dave taught us how to meditate the Word. He wasn't trying to teach. He did teach us the Word, but he taught us how he got the answer. And he expected us to do the same thing. I think we, as maybe it's human nature or whatever, oftentimes we get lazy and we think, well, Dave's got the revelation. We'll just listen to him. There's nothing wrong with that. I love listening to Pastor Dave. There's some tapes that I wore completely out listening to him over and over again. But the reason I listened to him was so that the Holy Spirit could teach me what Dave was saying. You know? Because we've got to learn from him. We have a teacher on the inside of us. We have a teacher that wants to bring us to a new revelation of who we are in him. It's obvious that the church doesn't really know who we are. We can look around and see that if we are, and we believe, we'll say it, as he is, so am I in this earth. But I can read what Jesus did, and I can look at what I'm doing, and they don't exactly line up. So somewhere, I don't really have that revelation of who he is in me. I don't have a true revelation in what God's wanting to do. I believe in this transformation that Alan's been teaching us, that Gary's been teaching us. That it's not Alan and Gary, it's the Holy Ghost trying to get us to a place where we're able to function the way that he has always desired and designed us to function. We're not trying to get to a new place, we're trying to get to the place that we already are. Which I know that sounds contradictory because we think about it in our natural mind, but in the spirit, we already have all of those things. Tulsa is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. That isn't just a saying that comes out of our natural way of thinking, but that's something that God had established in Pastor Dave many years ago. The thing is, has he established it in you? I told you I might get a little preachy, but so that's the thing. He doesn't, we can talk about the, I could, I told you I'm not really a teacher. That's, this is, we can learn about the power of the Spirit within us. We can learn about what God did to us and how it happened. And it's a great thing and it's a great revelation. But if you don't learn it from the Holy Spirit, all it is information. We do need the information. But it's our job to take that information and to make and to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Say, Lord, I'm going to take this and I'm going to meditate it. I'm going to read it 100 times and I want you to teach me what it means. I already know what Pastor Dave said it means and I don't disagree with him, but there's a measure in me. There's a measure inside of you. God don't want you to walk in Dave's measure. He wants you to walk in your measure. He wants you to be the part of the body that you are. Because if we're all Dave, then all we're going to do is what Dave did. And if we're all the ear, where's the seeing? And one of the problems that we've had in the body, and it's not just through Dave Roberson, but through looking at the gifts that are manifesting in the body, oftentimes we want to be that because we think that it's something glorious. But if you listen to their testimony, there's a lot of things that aren't glorious. What you see is not, you know, what you get to see is God, what God polished up and anointed and used and gifted. And sometimes it's not even, it's a facade. Like, you know, Alan's talked about many of these ministers that they function purely by the gifts. And so it's really a facade in a way. It's true, it's God, but it's not that man. You don't want to be like him. You don't want to be like her. You want to be who God has called you to be. You want to walk in the measure that he's given you. And to do that, we're going to have to live as a living sacrifice. Laying down. Sometimes it might mean laying down. I hope I don't get stoned for this. And I also want to say it right because I don't want you to misunderstand, but it might mean laying down. Yeah, that's it. It would mean allowing the Holy Spirit to put the teachings of Dave Roberson in the proper place in your spirit. In other words, sometimes there have been things that we have put in our life. You know, I spend a lot of time at the prayer center, and I love the prayer center, and this has been our home over many years. But there have been certain things the Lord has showed me that I had to change, that I have wrong expectations or wrong ideas of who Dave Roberson is, or of who, you know, what whoever might be. And I have to allow God to put those relationships into His perspective, and that He can put the puzzle together. The Bible says that you're fitly joined. So we don't just join a church just to join a church, but we have to allow God to fitly join us. And I'm not necessarily talking about a local church, but in whatever it is God has us doing and the connections that He connects us with, we gotta let Him connect us. It's okay. It's good to have friends and godly friends and good acquaintances, and it's good to, when you have the opportunity to have lunch with your brother and sister, and to enjoy those times. But there's a difference between the connections that we make and the connections that God makes. We can at times put someone in a place that God hasn't put them, and it brings disappointment and it hinders growth. But when you say, Holy Spirit, how does this fit into my life, and what are you teaching me through the born again trail? What are you teaching me? Holy Spirit, what are you saying through my measure of faith? And, you know, if we really did that, then all of us would have a revelation that would take us higher and up to the next level that He has for us, because it'd be your revelation. Years ago, I had back trouble. I still have had some back trouble even now. But I had really bad back problems. Like, I would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning crawling to some type of relief, you know, whether it be an inversion table or a hot bath or whatever I could get to. And it went on for almost a year, or maybe a little over a year. And, different people had prayed for me, and David prayed for me, and I was praying, and, you know, and I'm crying, and I'm hoping that it's going to go away. And I could hardly, there were days that I would just limp. I'd still go to work, and I'd limp myself to work, and it was terrible. But one day I was sitting over here, and Pastor Dave came down off of the stage, and he said, Hans, I think it's time. And I got out of my chair and walked up there, and I didn't get as close as I am from here to that front row, that something happened. And Dave said, he goes, oh, there's that wall of power. And it was. I mean, it was like I hit a wall. And it just came over me. And I started jumping, and I grabbed a chair and said, I couldn't put my leg straight out in front of me. I couldn't do it. It wouldn't do it. So I sat down right away and put my leg out. And I was like, I couldn't do that before. And I was all excited. God absolutely healed me. The pain left. And I turned around and I walked back to my seat. And before I sat down, I could sense that pain was there. Now, it was never as bad as it was before. But the Lord said something to me. He said, now, you got healed on Dave Roberson's faith. Now it's time you walk this out with your faith. And see, that's the thing. You may have understood the born-again trail from Dave Roberson's revelation. Now it's time you understand it from your revelation. Walk in it with your revelation. See, we want to show Dave Roberson our dust. Do we not? Isn't that how we honor Pastor Dave? Isn't that the one thing that he wanted to see? And so if we're going to honor Him, the way we do that is we take what He taught us and we bring it to the Holy Ghost, and we allow Him to bring us a revelation. We say, this is Dave Roberson's revelation. It's wonderful, but I need my part. I need my measure. And you remember, Dave used to say, he used that scripture, the sower overcomes the reaper. And he said, those things that took me 30 years don't have to take 30 years for you. See, he already brought us the harvest. And what we have to do is we've just got to get a hold of it and put it in our spirit and allow the Holy Ghost to show us what it means to you, what it means to us, so that it doesn't have to be another 30 years for us to take to learn the born again trail, because we already have the information. All we need is to allow the Holy Ghost to teach it to us so that it's ours and no one can take it away from you. Like I was going to go here today, and we still might, but I shared the last time I spoke, I shared from Romans chapter 8, and that revelation, I had heard Dave say it several times, but it was hard for me to even regurgitate what he said, because when I read it, I still had my understanding of it. But something happened when the Holy Spirit taught me. The thing is, he would have never been able to teach me that if it had not been for Dave Roberson, because I would have never thought that way. So I'm not discrediting the teaching of other men. What I'm saying is we have to take that and go to the Holy Spirit with it. And if it's God, he's going to give you the revelation in your measure of it. If it's not God, he's going to show you that, and you won't be deceived by it. Because we have an inoculation against deception. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's a treasure inside of you that there are, I don't know this, but I'm going to say it this way anyway. There's few people in the body of Christ. Well, I do know that. There's few people in the body of Christ because there's a few number that got to sit underneath the teachings of Dave Roberson. And when you look at the vast body of Christ. And I'm not here today to exalt Pastor Dave. I'm not here to lift him up, but I do want to honor what God has done through this ministry and through the man, Pastor Dave, because it impacted my life. It impacted the lives of so many. And because of it, we can now receive more than what Pastor Dave received. Now, some of you might think I'm blasphemous there, but I'm telling you it's the truth. Absolutely. That's what Gary said. He wanted that. That is what Dave was saying all along. And I think sometimes we didn't take it seriously. I know for myself, I heard it. I wanted it. But from the time that I came here, I was very young when I came here. And so in my youth and immaturity, I don't know if it's immaturity when you're young because you're just young. But in my, I just didn't understand the anointing. I didn't understand the things of God. And for me, that was like, I think someone says, talked about how, you know, well, you can walk in that anointing too. And I almost was laughing on the inside. Like, what are you talking about? You know, that's Dave Roberson. You know, I mean, I didn't even understand that was available. And we're walking in a time right now. Right now, today is the best day of your life. Today is the best day of your life. You can walk in more of God by the end of the day today than you did yesterday. You can walk in more of it tomorrow. Each day of your life can be the best day. On my worst day, it can still be the best day, because that which is in you is available every single day. It's available when you're down. It's available when you're up. It's available in distress. It's available in peace. It's available when things are wonderful and when things are terrible. That power that's in you, that power that God has given you, that life and light, that inner man, he's with you all the time. You didn't leave your spirit at home. And your spirit man has been born again. You can do everything that Jesus says you can do. You can have everything that God says you can have. But it has to be in accordance with what the Father is doing in your life. You know, like we read in Romans 12, we can know what is the good, the perfect, the acceptable will of God for us, right? For you. You can know what God has said for you to do. I had someone tell me here recently, he said, I don't know that prayer has much effect on the will of God. And I didn't quite understand what he meant by that. But I realized that this was a man who believed that the things that happen, happen because it's God's will. But you see, then you have to ask the question, was it God's will for Eve to eat the apple or the fruit? Was it God's will for Adam to eat the fruit? Well, obviously it was not God's will. And so once we have a revelation of what, of how God operates in the earth, and we have an understanding that just because things happen doesn't mean that it's his will, then what happens in prayer is we can begin to conform ourselves to his will so that we can bring, we bring his will to pass. It doesn't happen automatically. He needs you to get it done. He needs something in the earth. And God still has a desire and a will for what is to happen, but he doesn't just, you know, wave his hands around and say, let this happen. He did that at the beginning. He set it all in motion, but he said, you're going to multiply after your own kind. And he put within you, when he raised Jesus from the dead, he raised you from the dead. Now see, there's a lot of things we can teach. There's a lot of things we can understand, but there's certain things that belong to God. And I know, you know, Dave Roberson would say all the glory in that, but that's not what I'm talking about here. There's certain understandings that belong to God. I don't know how he did it, but somehow when he raised Jesus from the dead, this was 2,000 years ago. We're living in 2022, and yet when he rose from the dead, I rose from the dead. I don't know how he did that. I don't have to know it, but I know that the same power that was there on that day, the same power that touched Jesus when he was in the center of the earth, that power touched me when I called upon the name of Jesus, and it changed me from death to life. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to do it. Let's go to Romans 8. I told you, remember the power that we talked about in Ephesians. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Glory to God. All right, Romans 8. I could go all the way back to the beginnings, but let's start here. Verse 5, Romans 8 verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. All right, stop. Let's go to verse 1 first. It says, therefore, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So understand, Paul is making a distinction between flesh and spirit. Your flesh, your spirit. Now, again, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, remember, we're talking about the difference between the carnal nature, the spiritual, the spirit that's within you. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit, because he said here, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's your spirit, because the Holy Spirit's not life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit's life because he's God. I mean, he is life. He is righteous. He is love. But see, because we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And your spirit is, it doesn't just say that it's alive, but it is life. My body is dead because of sin. And when I fast, I reinforce that truth that my body is dead. Now, how am I going to tap into the life that my spirit is? How am I going to do that? Well, we know one way, absolutely for sure, is praying in other tongues, right? Because he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man but unto God, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. When my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. But see, and on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. You want to hear God's voice, begin to pray in other tongues. The Holy Spirit has given you that utterance. We want to learn how to walk in the Spirit. How much more practical can you get than speaking words the Holy Spirit has given you to speak, to learn about Him? Hallelujah. All right. Now, verse 10 again, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, the same Spirit we've been talking about, that human Spirit, that life, if it dwells in you, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. And we talked about the mighty working power that happened when the Holy Spirit touched Jesus. It gave His Spirit power to come up out of that grave. It gave His Spirit power to hit His body and empower His body to stand up with no blood, no strength, no nothing in it. Yet the power that's in His human spirit caused Him to come to life. And the same Spirit is in you. You've got a born again nature on the inside of you that gives life to your body. When your body doesn't want to get up, that you can rely on the power of your Spirit. And we can do this. Now, I know that we haven't seen it too often. We don't have a great model. But here, as I've been praying, I remember, the Lord has been dealing with me about this, that there is healing available. Yes. And we want to see healing flow through us to others. But you see, for the born again person of God, there is a power, a strength, you can call it a healing. There is a health, a virtue within us that we can rely on no matter whether our body is healed or not. We can walk in the strength of that human spirit within us that's been born again, that's received that life. Because your spirit is life. And no matter what your body tells you, you can still walk in that life. I'm not telling you not to take your medication or whatever it is, but I'm saying rely on Him. Rely on Him within you. Not looking for Him to do something on the outside and to come and to heal you, but to rely on what He's already done. The exceeding greatness of His power. When He touched you and changed you from death to life. That life wasn't put there so that you can, be in sickness and be bound up by a body that won't work. He put that life there so that it can flow through you to reach others and to live that life out here on the earth. So the best example I could find is I've asked the Lord, show me in Scripture, how is it that your spirit can give life, can produce healing to your body? And this was it. Jesus, His spirit, His body, it wasn't just broken. He didn't just have a broken arm or a broken foot or whatever, but virtually all the blood had come out of His body. There was no way that body could move. And yet it had to when that life entered it. And you have that life in you. So I want to encourage you. I don't want to make you feel condemned if you're not walking in it. I want to encourage you that if you're not walking in the fullness of it, it's available. And we're getting there. And we'll continue to let the Holy Spirit show you that life that's in you. Because when He teaches you and He shows you what it is that you have, nobody can take that away from you. I can teach you, and I should, and Gary should, and Alan should, and everyone who's called to teach should teach, but yet we have to receive it in our spirit, and we have to bring it to the Holy Spirit and say, teacher, teach me. Give me my portion. Give me my measure so that I can walk in the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Amen.